Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hey, the Growing in Grace podcast with me, Mike, and him, Joel. We're glad you're with us. Joel, I saw, before we get into what we're talking about, following up on some of the recent programs, I saw a post on social media recently where they said that when driving down the road and there are cows, they will announce, you know, like going down the highway or whatever, they will announce to the rest of the people in the car that there are cows. But, you know, we're from Iowa, so that's not enough. So I have to ask, Joel, before God and before all who are listening right now, have you ever stuck your head out the window and mooed at the cows? I mean, have you ever literally done that, well, physically?
Many times. I actually have.
Well, now I'm concerned.
Yeah, you should be concerned. It's like my coworker says, I'm concerned about you. I said, and rightfully so. I'd be concerned if you weren't concerned about me. But I know that you and I would... there was a certain drive that we would take because you had relatives up north of where we live,
yes,
and we had,
yes,
relatives up north. And along that road, I don't know if it's still there anymore, but outside of a house, they had like a, it was a cow, but it was made of like, I don't know what it was made of, like barrels and other things that they had made. Do you remember seeing that? It was up and down that highway for years.
It's ringing a bell.
But my wife would always point that out. Look, that cow.
I know. There's something about cows. You just got to point them out.
There's that cow.
But to stick your head out and moo. That's a whole different animal right there, pun intended.
Well, I was concerned because they never mooed back. I'm trying to have a conversation here, and they wouldn't go along with it.
It is disappointing when they don't move back. Like, we had something for years around where we live called the Cattle Congress. It was kind of like a carnival.
Yeah.
And they had these barns filled with cows. So you weren't just driving past them. You could get right in front of them and do the moo.
The moo.
And see if they'd move back. But, you know, out on the highway, it's a problem because sometimes we would, you know, there was these mailboxes out there by the farms. And if you stuck your head out too far, you might hit a mailbox. I mean, we were like the Three Stooges, though. We'd just keep going. No ER visits, nothing. We just kept moving.
Well, and the Cattle Congress, that was something, a name in and of itself that I, you know, they have had concerts there. Used to be, what was it,
The Hippodrome is often, yeah.
Yeah, well, I've been to several concerts there, and at least two of them, someone from the stage has made a comment about what they did. You know, they tour across the nation. They discover they're going to this place, and it's the Cattle Congress, and the images in their minds, you know, these, you know, a bunch
of... because they would have rodeo stuff.
A bunch of, because you got the house, yeah. But you got the House and the Senate, and they picture these cows, you know, legislating laws and, you know, things like that. The Cattle Congress.
Don't get me started on Congress.
Don't get him started on Congress, no doubt. Just kidding.
Back to faith and works. If you haven't caught some of our recent programs, there's some pretty interesting things I think we've talked about that'll maybe help change your perspective. And by changing perspective, I'm not just saying your doctrine should agree with ours.
Right.
The goal here is to help you allow the Spirit of God to teach you. And that may or may not always agree with whatever we're saying.
Right.
We're flying by the seat of our pants here. So, but we're encouraging you to maybe break away from some of what you've been taught because it may not be very consistent with the gospel. And our goal, I think, here is to help people just come to a greater knowledge of the truth. However you get there, ultimately it will be by the Spirit of God. And so I think you'll pick up on some things that may help loosen the reins a little bit on some tight thinking that we've had over the years, because this is what we've been taught. It's been handed down sometimes from generation to generation. And then you find out much of it isn't true. That's what this grace thing has done for me, Joel, and it's been a really it's been like one great big freedom for me.
Yeah, well, hey, just real breaking in real quick, I'll let you continue here, but on that subject of we're not trying to say you have to agree with everything we say. It was interesting. I shared this with you beforehand, but there is a person out there who definitely doesn't, by what he teaches and preaches, doesn't line up with what we teach about Paul and James. This person is pretty well known for teaching that James and Paul were in agreement. This person probably isn't necessarily who people think I'm talking about. And we were in a messenger conversation, and it was really cool. It was just really good. And without giving the details of the whole conversation, just in the end, this is what I said to him. I said, let's see. A lot of, grace people who believe in grace will say in one way or another that Paul and James agreed. You're definitely not alone in being wrong. And I gave him the happy, smiling, laughing face. Just I was just being, goofy with him. And then I said, but seriously, we always tell people that it's okay if we don't all see eye to eye. The best we can do is to share our perspectives and give others room to be led by God. And that's really what it's about. In all the almost 20 years that we've been doing this, we've never told anybody, this is the way it is, and if you don't agree with us, you're a heretic. If you don't agree with us, you're wrong. That's never been our hearts. We simply look at what we see and we share it with you. So, with that said, I'll let you keep on with what you were saying.
Yeah, so that's really our heart, and I even wrote that in my book, Joel. I think it was either the preface or the intro, the stuff people sometimes skip. Shame on you. Where I didn't write this to try to get you to agree with everything that I think. That's not what this was about, and that's not what this podcast is about. But let's continue on here because sometimes we're let's put it this way. Maybe you could have a person who grew up from birth to adult in a particular church building, church denomination, and they were maybe they're very, very focused on works and doing good deeds, and we're not poo-pooing that, right? But that's all they really knew. I mean, that was the whole ministry is just based on that. And so maybe they're out clothing people who are poor, feeding people who are hungry. Nothing wrong with that, right? But that's their world. That's their gospel. So you could have somebody, in theory, you could have somebody who has works and may be, or appear to be at least, one of the most fruitful people that you'll ever want to meet. I've met some of these people. They are just nice people to be around. Because they just seem so genuine in their niceties. I mean, they're just so nice. And yet it's possible that they've never had faith because I can't see their faith. You could have somebody who maybe was an atheist who would do those same things. They just want to help people. They just want to help people, but they've never come to know the Savior. And so I turn that around based on our recent past few podcast conversations that people who think the proof is in the pudding, that your faith will need to be demonstrated or you may not have it, even though they don't tell you exactly what that means to demonstrate it. So I'm throwing that out there, Joel. I'm also going to throw out a couple of other things here and then we can have this conversation. But Paul told some people in Colossians, I'm jumping in the middle here because he said a lot before this, and I don't want to read the whole chapter because he's coming toward the end of the chapter. Paul said, I now rejoice in my sufferings, Colossians 1, 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of the body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery, verse 26, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known. What are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is where our proof is, Joel. Our proof is in an empty tomb and a risen Savior. That's the proof. And there were witnesses to account for this. But it's the Spirit of God, as we mentioned last week, it's the Spirit of God, even though we have witnesses who have bared witness, the apostles, for example, who witnessed a risen Jesus who had died and spoke about it in their writings. But even though they bore witness of this, it is the Spirit of God in this new covenant who bears witness with us inwardly, Christ in you, the hope of glory, a mystery which has been hidden, but now has been revealed, now has been manifested. How? In our hearts, you know? And we don't purify our own hearts, by the way, as somebody else once said.
Right.
His name begins with J. Because, and this isn't, I know we always have new listeners, so I just got to say, we're not slamming James. We're not suggesting James was teaching cult-like stuff or wasn't saved or any of that. This was at a time where it was very difficult for Jewish people to transition from law to grace only and not realize, not have the revelation that the law had been put aside and come to an end, abolished, brought to death. They weren't aware of all that. Not all these people were. Now Paul came along and began to preach that message. And even 20 years later, even after James wrote his letter, roughly 20 years later, it wasn't just Paul telling the Gentiles they didn't have to keep the law. He was telling the Jews the same thing. And James and his council in the book of Acts jumped on him about it and said, hey, we agreed with you on this Gentile thing, but now you're telling Jews this? Well, you got to change your tune on this. You got to change your tune, Paul. And so the other thing I'll mention, Joel, I feel like I'm talking a long time here, but just to give you something to bounce off of, the Good Samaritan, we always want to gravitate toward this good works thing being about us. We want to be the Good Samaritan. You turn on the news at night. Oh, a Good Samaritan helped this person. The Good Samaritan in the Bible was Jesus. It wasn't us. There was somebody laying there on the side of the road who was dying. The people associated with law and works passed them by, a priest, a Levite, and then the Good Samaritan comes along. The Good Samaritan was Jesus. This is something we've talked about. Maybe we can do another podcast on it, but I just bring that out to point out how people always want to turn works into what we do instead of what God does through us. And I know for some people that seems like a fine line. They have a hard time differentiating that, but it's a very big difference, understanding that it's not about what we do, and we're not out to try to prove our faith. The proof is in a risen Savior, an empty tomb, and Christ in us, with whom the Spirit bears witness with us that we are children of God.
Yeah. And remember the tree of the knowledge of evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the tree through which everything started to be messed up here. So you can have a lot of people, you know, people talk about, oh, there's so much evil in this world. Well, there is also a lot of good in the world that comes from people who don't even believe, but who have eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so to speak, the knowledge of good and evil. I've known over the years many coworkers that I work with, hard-working people, good work ethic, couldn't care any less about God. But they're nice people, they're really good to get along with, but don't care anything about God. And they have a lot of works. And even Paul, the Apostle Paul, before he was a believer, think about what he said in Philippians. Where is that? Philippians 3. He talks about how he could have confidence in the flesh, that is, in his works and in his heritage. You know, he talks about how he was circumcised on the eighth day. He was of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You know, so Paul's kind of given his resume here of all the reasons why he would have confidence in the flesh. But he goes on to say, Philippians 3:7, but what things were gained to me, you know, all that stuff I thought was good, was gained to me. But these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, or as dung, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That's really what it's all about. It's not about all these good things that a person can do, and it's not even about the evil things that people have done. It's about faith in Christ. It's about the righteousness which is by faith. That's the main message from Paul. And then when it came to living out our daily lives in Christ, the message really didn't change. He didn't start saying, well, now you need to start doing all these things to prove your faith. That was the basis, the knowledge of knowing God by grace through faith alone. It had nothing to do with works. You know, I had a several years ago when I started learning about grace, we switched from what I would call a very legalistic church to what a lot of people would call a grace church. And, you know, Cap and I, you know, we've talked about the pastor in this church from time to time on our podcast over the years. He would literally preach for an hour every week. And see, you know, sometimes I always wanted to invite people to the church because of the great, all the wonderful things that he was saying. But I also kind of held back because, man, they're going to have to listen to a guy preach for an hour. I don't know if they're going to be used to that. But anyway, the things that he said were so great. And the thing is, not once, or at least very rarely, did he ever talk about behavior and about how to live your life in Christ. I can't remember any examples. He may have, but anyway, in all of his hour-long sermons every week, never preached about behavior that I can remember. And yet I left every week feeling so fresh, because it was so good. But I didn't, here's what I didn't do. I did not feel like I wanted to just go out and sin and live a licentious life. But I really, it encouraged me and it built me up to be the person who I was in Christ. And it wasn't about my works, because it was always going to be about Christ in me, Christ working in me, the work of Christ. And that's really what this is all about when it comes to our life in Christ. So we're definitely not saying that works are a bad thing. But what we're trying to point out here is that the faith that saves and justified is the gospel is not believe and make sure you have works. That's not the gospel. That's not the good news. It's not faith working along with works that justifies you. It's faith alone that through which you're justified and saved. And works, again, are not a bad thing, but they're not the gospel.
I think somebody might be wondering, well, so where do I go from here? Mm-hmm. And you know, just talk to God, I think, and just say, God, just show me what this looks like. I want to make myself a vessel for you. Mm-hmm. I want you to work in and through me. And I think, you might even say, I don't even know what that looks like, God. I don't know what that looks like, but you do. So work through me. I mean, because sometimes what we think is a demonstration of faith may be something entirely different. And maybe God working in and through us is going to be quite different than what we might think it is. And so I think it really, much of it just comes down to the love of Christ that dwells in us. That love has a way of reaching out in ways that we may not even fully comprehend. And so I think we rest in that. We rest in that love. We're assured by that love. We believe in that love. And that's the kind of stuff, along with the fruit of the Spirit, that God wants to see flowing through us. And it can reach out and impact people in powerful ways.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.